The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for the Fidipidations Worldwide Half Marathon in October 2007. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email at theextramile2007@gmail.com.
To episode 13 of the Extra Mile Podcast. If you have been paying attention to this podcast and Nigel's running from the Reaper, it's no surprise to you that we both have some injuries going on. Nigel is working through a nasty hamstring injury, which has sent him indoors to the pool. And I'm working through a nasty bout of plantar fasciitis that has sent me to the cross trainer or elliptical machine. Now, I am out running today. More on that later in my update. Now, I'm not smart enough to know if anything about my training or Nigel's training led to or contributed to our injuries. First of all, I don't have enough information to go on. I have no idea what kind of training specifically Nigel was doing. And even if I did have that information, I'm not smart enough to know if it contributed to his or my injury. Just to point out evidence that I'm not smart enough, it is today, mid-November, I believe it's the 11th, sunny and 61 degrees in Cincinnati. I have come down with a decent chest cold. It's been keeping me and my wife awake most of the night. And, like I said, I have plantar fasciitis. I have no idea whether I should be out here running or not. But did you hear what I said? It's mid-November and 61 and sunny. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I forgot my running socks today. So I'm running with no socks, too. You need more evidence? In any case, since it is about to the end of the racing season, most of us are winding down, I think it's an appropriate time that we have a discussion about cross training. That is, backing our running down a bit and doing something else. So, let's do that. Thanks for joining us, and let's get this extra mile in.
Thank you.
Well, hello everyone. It's Nigel here. I'm Staffordshire in the UK. Just checking in with a report for the Extra Mile podcast. Sorry I haven't been able to submit any reports for the past few weeks, but had a couple of problems. I'm incredibly busy at work, doing some certification exams, which have pretty much dominated all my spare time, and also following the Worldwide Half Marathon. I actually found I picked up a bit of an injury. Just going past a swan who seemed to be coughing a little bit. Sorry about that. Yeah, I actually rested for around about 5 days after the Worldwide Half, and everything felt fine. And the next time I went out for my weekend run, I started getting this pretty sore pain in my calf muscle. And so I had to cut the run short and try it again the next day. And it just got worse and worse. And to cut a long story short, I've run about only about three or four times in the past 3 weeks. Until I actually managed to get running again at the end of last week. As I say, I did actually try running once or twice, but I think I went back to the running too soon, and the pain was excruciating. I've never had anything like it. I'm not sure if it was something like maybe a muscle tear. But anyway, after resting up best part of 3 weeks, this is my third time out now, just doing some short runs and building things back up, and feeling pretty good. Actually running down by the canal today. It's a fairly chilly November day, but excuse me, I've been attacked by a fly, but just nice for running actually. Nice and chilly, not too much of a breeze. And nice and dry. Just a few clouds making things a little bit dull. But I can't complain too much. But one of the things that I actually tried while I was off from running, after an initial week or two of doing nothing, not really facing up to the fact that I was going to be out for a few weeks, I did actually try a little bit of cross training. Because to actually sit around doing nothing, it's very frustrating, and you can certainly feel the weight piling back on, feel your conditioning going. And the only thing I could really come up with that was suitable was swimming. So I actually got set myself down to the local pool only a few times, maybe once a week. And I've got to say, it does give you a really good aerobic and all over body workout. Particularly good to do a bit of upper body work, because that's something I never really do, something I would like to do, but trying to fit it all in is so difficult. And I've certainly heard Dr. Monty mention a few times on his podcast about the necessity really for doing some cross training, because I know that once you get past your early 30s, you certainly do start to lose muscle mass pretty quickly year on year if you don't do something strong to halt the slide. You can end up being a very puny person in your 50s and 60s, so it's really something I should do more about. And I think having had this little bit of a break and trying a bit of swimming again, I think I might I'm going to strive to make it part of my weekly training regime. Maybe once a week, get down to the local pool and get myself in there. A good half hour hard swim. I've been doing about 50 lengths of a 25 metre pool, so in just under half an hour. which isn't too shabby, and it certainly makes you feel like you've done a good workout at the end of it. I'd looked at doing some other things, like maybe walking or cycling. I haven't got a bicycle, unfortunately, and to be honest, where I live, it's a fairly small town, sort of like an island in the middle of the surrounding network of roadways and countryside, and you don't have to cycle too far to be out on some pretty fast moving roads. So I don't know if I really fancy cycling too much, but something to think about. But definitely going to try and keep on with the swimming once a week as time allows. Let's get a bit of an upper body workout. I guess I should do some weights as well, but I've got to say, I find that just so boring and soul destroying, and I just don't like the pain. Anyhow, it's good to catch up with you all again. Hope your running and training and everything else that you're doing is going well, and I'll try and submit another report for you over the next few weeks. Got a pretty hectic schedule again up until Christmas. Lots of travelling to various parts of the country, so I'll do my best as and when I can. Anyhow, take care. I'll speak to you all again soon. Bye.
Hi, this is Kevin. This is my update for the Extra Mile Podcast, episode 13. As I said, a few weeks ago I came down with a nasty bout of plantar fasciitis. Of course, I will tell you it's self-diagnosed, but I think anyway it's a pretty easy one to diagnose. I looked up the symptoms and the causes, and I'm pretty much a poster boy for that. So just in the way of an update of where I am, I've cut back my running considerably. In fact, I took, actually it was a couple of weeks off completely. And right now, I will tell you that the pain is not gone, but it is bearable. I would say on the pain scale, with zero being no pain at all, and 10 being forced to watch Rosie O'Donnell on TV, I'm at about 4, I'd say. Pain is still there, but it is bearable. As I alluded to in this episode 12, I've been running a very long time. Not as long as Jim. I think he's doing it 30 years. I'm on just coming up on 25. But in all those years, if I'm being honest, I've done pretty much nothing in the way of cross training. When I get hurt, and I have been hurt, I'll head indoors and get on a cross trainer, maybe the treadmill, maybe a bike, but I'll get on it for the minimum amount of time until I can get back on the road. And the real reason is, I just love to run. I can't get or find another exercise that I love this much. And even though I know it's better for me to add something else, when I do that, after I'm finished, I feel like I haven't really worked out. You know what I mean? I lift weights, and after I'm done, I try to talk myself into going for a short run. But recently, I've really stopped and given it a hard look. Not just my running, but my complete health. My eating habits, my exercise habits, all of it. And there's no doubt that I have asked running to do all of it for me. Keep me healthy so I don't have to care what I eat. That's not right. And the older I get, the more obvious it becomes that it's just not working. I still think I'm very healthy, but I tend to get tired more quickly. I know that I get sore more quickly. And folks, I have a 7-month-old baby at home who can keep me busy long after I've given out. So, with that as my incentive, last week I went from 6 days of running down to 4. I'm not happy about it, but I'm forcing myself and I'm going to stick with it for a while. I also added 2 days of lifting weights. I specifically did not want to trade one form of aerobic exercise for another. So I'm not going to give up a run one day to get on the cross trainer or a bike. Although they use different muscles, I view them as all aerobic exercises. And I don't think anybody would deny the importance of building muscle. I listened to Scott Smith on his Motivation to Move podcast. And either he is dead wrong about it, or lifting weights is so important, especially as you get older, that I would be a fool not to start and keep at it. So it's been a couple days since I lifted. Tomorrow's another lifting day for me. Just getting to the point where I can stand and walk without being sore. But it's a good sore. So, am I doing the right thing? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that. But I think I am. Everything I've read leads me to believe that this is what I need to do. Am I telling you to do it? Hell no. I wouldn't pretend to know what's right for me. Certainly I'm not going to tell you what's right for you. So, here's the deal. I'm going to do this. I'm going to cut back to 4 days a week on my running and lift 2 days. Take a day off and report back how it's working for me. Maybe it won't do a darn thing. So I'll report that. So there's my update. And please check back. See how this thing goes, will it? Have a good week, everyone.
Greetings, fellow runners. My name is Jim, and I'm a runner. It is Friday, October, I think it's the 12th, I believe. One thing about being retired, you sometimes get the day of the week right. Sometimes you lose track of the numerical number. But I think it is the 12th. And once again, I'm on the Wabash Trace Trail, south of Council Bluffs, Iowa. And I just turned around at the 5 mile mark. And this may well be, if not the, one of the last 10 milers of the year. I won't do very many after today, probably. This is the time of year I really, really start ramping down with my miles. I like to stay at about 12 to 1300 miles a year running. And then when adding in the biking miles, I like to always get up over 3,000 miles total. And this year it will be well over that. So, you know, when I start looking at the numbers, this time of year I start adjusting my schedule. In the fall I hunt a lot. So that also takes some of my time. And it also helps to force me to ramp back a little bit. And honestly, this is just the way I've been doing it for many, many years. And it seems to work for me. And so this is probably, you know, the start of the ramp back period for me. Matter of fact, this week, I have only ran one time. I think it was Monday. I did a 10 miler. Today will be 10, that's 20. Sunday I'll probably run, you know, maybe 8 miles. That's 28 miles. That's still probably more than I really want to do. So that's why the 10 mile runs will start to move down to the 8 and 7 mile range. It is a beautiful morning, October morning here in the Midwest in the United States. The trees are starting to change. So you got a lot more color along the trail. It's about 45 degrees, I think, when I left. Well, it's cool. I've got gloves. I've got a stocking hat on and two long sleeve running shirts. I do have shorts on, though. I have one of those convoluted gym rules that 32 degrees or more, you'll wear shorts. Anything below freezing, I'll start to wear a shell over the shorts. But I digress. No training bits of wisdom today. Not that anything I've had to say so far would be considered by many as wisdom. But just a little bit of a time for reflection, maybe. By the time this submission, should the powers to be, Nigel, Kevin, and Chris, decide to use it, most people will have, well, they will have their worldwide half and couch to 5K races in the books. Many will be looking forward to fall races, which a lot of people do, because it's a great time here to race. If you can peak in the fall, race in the fall. If you want to peak in the spring, race in the spring. But I thought I'd take just a little bit of time to reflect, not on so much running, but my thoughts on the Extra Mile podcast. You know, without saying anything more, I need to say that it should continue. For years, a lot of years, well, before they even had iPods and MP3 players, you know, you just went out and ran and, you know, you had your own thoughts in your mind, did whatever you did. And they came up with those little miniature running radios. I never really got into that because I I'm not into music, never have been. But when the MP3 players came out and people discovered that they could create their own audio blogs per se, and people with interests obviously blogged audially their thoughts, and included among those, of course, were runners. So I guess I moved into the techno geeko world of running with electronics all over me, which I never thought I'd do. But I have now come to really look forward to listening to various podcasts while running. On my long runs, I always listen to Steve and Fitipidations. On the shorter runs, 10 or less, I'm looking forward to Nigel, Running from the Reaper. And then, of course, lo and behold, the Extra Mile podcast. And the cast of characters is great. I feel privileged, honored. And from time to time, they throw one of my clips in there. And I think why I like it so much is the interface with other people. Listening to other people talk about what they're doing in terms of fitness, running, exercise, and even the little glimpses into their personal lives at times. It really is. I'm getting a little interference on my microphone there for some reason. But it really is like running with a friend. In the past, I've run with other people. I used to have a regular running partner until he moved away. He comes back a couple, three times a year, and we always run as part of his visit. But I miss those Sunday long runs with him, where we could just talk about a plethora of topics. He was working on a PhD in criminal justice. I was in the criminal justice field, as was he, before he started going to school to get his PhD to become a teacher. And I mean, we really talked about a lot of things that were germane to his PhD in criminal justice. But, you know, I miss those interactions, and you get that with these running podcasts. You really do. So, without question, you gotta keep it going, guys. But what do you do with it? You know, initially, obviously, it was created, I guess, to allow people to promote and encourage the worldwide half and people's training for that race. Well, once the race is over, the question becomes, well, what about content? And again, it's obviously up to the powers to be, the brain trusts, what the content will be. I hope that some people will provide some input in terms of what they'd like to see. But just personally, I would like to have people continue with submissions on what they're doing in terms of the running, updates on training, updates on injury, updates on life. Continue those little glimpses into an individual's personal hurdles that they have as they go day to day through this thing we call life. You know, that's a possibility. Obviously, that depends on people's willingness to contribute. I know my contributions will probably slow down through the fall. because I just won't be out running as much. And this is when I do my recording. So, you know, I do a lot of running on the treadmill in the winter. I might try to crack a few submissions off while running on the treadmill. You know, if I do get outside, obviously, I can record. For a lot of people who run, you know, above the Mason-Dixon line or in the northern part of the United States, you have winter running concerns, so it might be interesting to hear about people and their winter runs. So there are some ideas that people can grab onto in terms of continuing submissions to make this a viable podcast. Obviously, like Steve runs his own podcast and Nigel runs his own podcast from time to time. You know, Kevin, Nigel, and Chris can maybe just do a complete episode. Not a problem. I like listening to anybody who's a runner. So, you know, went on way too long. Edit it how you like or throw it away. But those are my thoughts on the Extra Mile Podcast. I really want to thank everybody again for contributing and making it possible for me to listen as well as submit from time to time some dribble. So anyway, I'll shut up. Get on down the trail. Hey, till next time. My name is Jim, and I'm a runner. Bye.
I'm standing across from Theodore Roosevelt, 1858 to 1919. This is the Museum of Natural History, New York City, Manhattan, Central Park. It's a chipper morning, late fall, the leaves are turning, it's beautiful, and let's just grab a random woman walking by here who's shaking her head and looks a lot like my wife. Hello, wife.
Hello.
Do you like New York?
I love New York.
Ah, well, you're going to go enjoy playing with the doggies and going to get a bagel, and I'm going to go sweat around here, and it's going to be fun.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ian.
Bye.
Good morning, everybody. John here. It is a beautiful morning. A little chilly. A little bit overcast. And we're going to run Central Park today. We found a parking space on Central Park West, where my wife just dropped me off, right across from the Museum of Natural History. We've got this really cool 20-foot piece of shrubbery in the front, adorned with Christmas lights in the shape of a dinosaur. Actually, there's two of them now that I look a little further, both sides of the statue of Teddy Roosevelt. And it is an impressive sight. I'm seeing no shortage of a dozen dogs in front of me right now, all playing. It's supposed to be a dog walk area. Manhattan, New York does a great job of providing places for people who have dogs to let them run without disrupting people who might be afraid of dogs. And it's great. It's great. These great dogs love it. They run around. They're free within their freedom within a confined area. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but it does. Today I'm going to find the Central Park Loop, and we're going to do about 6 miles, and talk about Central Park a little bit. Whatever else comes to mind. Okay, I found the main road, and I think there might be a road race this morning. I'm passing a sign here that says about a half mile to go. I've got 6 miles to go, so let's get it started. And off we go. Cyclists in one direction, dog walkers to the left, runners to the right. This is amazing. And the funny thing about New York is you can run, and running up a hill right now, but you can run and seemingly look like you're talking to yourself into the Tai River, and nobody even blinks. Back home, I look very strange doing this, because it is a little strange. Here, not so much. Definitely seen what's looking like a finish area to a road race, and a lot more runners all of a sudden. I think I'm running into the middle of a race. Okay, passing Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis Reservoir. Something about me running, can't get away from reservoirs. That's okay. It's definitely a race. Somewhere near here, I'm approaching a very clear sign with a 3 mile mark and complete with an aid station. I've been running for 2 minutes, I think I'm fine. Cool thing about being not just a runner but an active person in Manhattan is Central Park is so beautiful, so organized. On the pathway here, there's a lane for runners, there's a clear lane for cyclists. And then the regular motorway, which is clear vehicular traffic this morning on a Sunday. Not sure what the policy is midweek, but in any case, it's kind of just getting your lane and go. Unobstructed, no stops, wonderful. I'm on the west side of the reservoir on the main path, and my choice of running routes here is not accidental. You can tell when I'm going uphill. Not too much flat here. Good place for a workout, but boy, you're either going up or down somewhere. Cresting the hill. Feeling good. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, and square is the middle of the day, so many people out here. And this doesn't even include people who might be gathered for the race. So what am I doing in New York? Well, though I'm a tried and true Bostonian, I married a New Yorker. Makes it really interesting around the house when the Yankees are playing the Red Sox. But I used to live down here for a short time in the late 90s, and my wife lived down here for a longer period of time, and we try to make a point of coming back every so often to enjoy New York and visit some friends, and with the weekend off, cheap hotel up the road, if such a thing exists, you actually can't find them. The drive for about 20 minutes from Manhattan, but found a good spot up the Hudson River, and here we are. And what I'm really doing is enjoying the synergy of thousands of people taking care of themselves simultaneously. And the synergy of different priorities there. One guy had his dog off a leash crossing the street as three cyclists were going by. Alert cyclists averted a problem, but well, what can I tell you? It's New York. Few words were exchanged there. You'll have that. Hey, I own a dog, but look, need the leash. So past the reservoir. Great ball field on my right. soccer blimp. Seemingly dozens of them. Marks that big. It took a little planning to be here this morning, but I wanted to be here. And something's been bothering me for the last 2 weeks, and this seemed like a way to deal with it. It was 2 weeks ago and a day from this moment here that the Olympic Trials Marathon took place on this very stretch of road. A criterion course that, after the first mile or so through Times Square, ended with multiple loops through this very Central Park to establish the top three American men who would go to Beijing to represent the United States in the Olympic Marathon. It is not breaking news to suggest they were going a whole lot faster than me right now. I'm at 9:30 pace up this hill, and it's work. But these guys made an impressive showing in here a few weeks ago. As you would expect, though, the race certainly lived up to its advanced billing as one of the more competitive American distance races of the last several years. Going through a section here called the North Woods, near the north end of Central Park, around the tip of Harlem. Got another hill. I'll tell you what, firsthand, these Olympic marathoners worked. This is not crazy hills, but they just keep coming, one after another. Try to run your dream race out here after 4 years of training between Olympics, or three as a pragmatic case might be, Olympic Trials Marathon for 2008 being held in 2007 after all. Plenty of time for our Olympic team of marathoners to recover and peak again in Beijing. They being Ryan Hall, who ran 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 2 seconds over these roads. What I think is safe to say was the most impressive 2 hour, 9 minute marathon in world history. He ran the last 20 miles of the Olympic trials at 2:06 pace. Obliterated the field. And the crazy part was, he looked like he had another gear left. I think the suggested route to run in Central Park on the running path is in a counterclockwise direction. However, the Olympic Trials Marathon was run through the loops in a clockwise direction. And I am not alone in doing this out here this morning. I don't feel too much the renegade, but I'm going in their direction. We're going clockwise today. Sign said forever wild. I like that. So behind Ryan Hall, 2 weeks ago in a day, were Dathan Ritzenheim, formerly of Colorado, most recently of Eugene, Oregon. And passing Dan Brown in the final miles to claim the third coveted spot on the Olympic team, Brian Sell, which I was really happy for. Brian Sell works at a Home Depot 20 hours a week when he's not training 150 miles a week. He is the front member of the Hansons racing team, who I have so much respect for. Keith and Kevin Hanson, having decided on their own, in their own running store in Michigan, to put a group together and support a number of athletes with Olympic dreams. And 2 weeks ago was their redemption day. Brian Sell made the Olympics. Congratulations to everybody. I just passed an outdoor ice skating rink. I believe it was sponsored by Donald Trump, according to the signage. Only in New York. 3, 2, 1. End of the first period. The guests have a 3-0 lead on the home hockey team of what looked like 10-year-olds. Earth? Is there another place on the planet that has so much sports activity going on in 1 6-mile loop area? This is incredible. And this is another hill. I'm at what appears to be the most northern point of Central Park right now. The road's turning. The hills keep coming, but we're making our way towards the east side. I don't know what that smell is. Passing Compost Road. Apparently Central Park is green in more ways than one. I've taken 2 days off from running this week, but the other 5 days, culminating today, I run 6 miles each. So, 30 miles for the week. It's a start. Steady running. Nothing crazy yet. It's building base. I think every dog in Manhattan is here this morning. Oh, two across the road. That's Fifth Avenue. We are on the east side. I believe that's Mount Sinai Hospital across to my left. The hills are alive with the sound of me wheezing. 3 miles of this already. Flew by. Fifth Ave and 92nd. Memories of 2004 when I ran just to my left the New York City Marathon. I remember coming down here and starting to feel a little better with the crowd. It's just amazing how New Yorkers pull you through that event. I had a tough stretch in the Bronx, passed by former French Open champion Yannick Noah, of all people. He was hard to miss. I think he's the only guy in the crowd in my immediate area running who was taller than me at 6'3". At least he was running taller. Oh, they've moved the statue of Fred LeBeau back from the finish line area where I just passed, which is 89, and right adjacent to both the Guggenheim Museum and the headquarters of the New York Roadrunners. Fred's perpetual home. It's accompanied by the street sign abutting Fifth Avenue that says Fred LeBeau Place. Yeah, this is Fred's place. And now I see the blue line in the road signifying that I am in union with the New York City Marathon course right now. As is the case with every marathon, every race, there's a litany of stories. Triumph of disappointment. Brian Hall, Dathan Ritzenheim, and Brian Snell had the days of their life and ran tremendously optimistic performances representing the future of American distance running. Other great runners were present. Former world record holder Khalid Danucci ran a brave race coming off some injuries and garnered the alternate spot in fourth. Others didn't do well. Race favorites, Abdi Abdurrahman, silver medalist from the previous Olympics in Athens, Meb Keflezighi, and the winner of the last Olympic Trials Marathon, Alan Culpepper, were all present, but all disappointed. It's one of the things I love not only as a participant in the sport, but even as a spectator. When it comes to running, there are few sports so honest. No referee call determines the champion. Generally speaking, whoever trained the hardest, put in the work, and prepared most brilliantly will perform most brilliantly on the given day. And I love that. That's why it's important to go out and support road races when they're in your area. Even if you're not running them, go out and support the guts on trial before you. watching a marathon like the Olympic trials unfold is a celebration of months and years of sacrifice that you see before you on display, unadulterated. You can go to the museum and see art. I'm telling you right now, you see a marathon, the scope of the Olympic trials, and that is art on display. It's raw emotion, it's truth, and it's beauty. For what it's worth, I echo these words in the shadow of an object known as the obelisk. There's many symbols on it, which I need to learn more about. It looks like a mini Washington Monument with hieroglyphics all over it, but I don't question its beauty. But I submit to you that the running that took place 15 days ago underneath it, and 14 days ago, because it was 2 weeks ago, was the New York City Marathon, the day after the trials. Equally beautiful. But if you love art, how can you not love running? Another hill. Oh, I remember this hill. This is a downhill. At least the way I'm running it. At least the way the 37,000 2 weeks ago ran it. It was 2004. And I remember this hill because I could start to smell the barn. Close enough to the finish line with over 2 miles to go. And I got a second wind. And it was race time. I think I passed 100 runners on this downhill. Paid for it slightly, but it's amazing how emotions can affect you. A cat hill. When you run in the opposite direction, you're near the crest and there's a stone panther looking at you viciously. I paid my dues a couple miles ago, Mr. Cat. I'm enjoying the downhill. Come to me, Miss Cat. The way Paula Radcliffe ran out here a few weeks ago, as tough as anybody. A cat could be equally fierce and equally female. Oh God. I'm coming down this hill. I'm at the boathouse entrance. I'm slowing down because I'm looking for a rock.
I have a kind of an odd question. You went to trials here a few weeks ago. The spot where Ryan Shank felt, do you know where that is?
By the boathouse. Straight ahead, you see the boathouse?
Yeah.
I don't know the specific area, but that's the general area.
Right over there. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I need to go back. Okay, I'm turning around again. The Olympic trials contain triumph, disappointment, and stunningly tragedy. I'm within feet. There was a rock signifying the spot exactly that I'm looking for. It may have been removed, but I'm in front of the boathouse, and I know that right now I'm retracing Ryan Shay's last steps. I need to walk for a minute. I need to be quiet for a minute. Okay. At this point where I'm standing, which was about 5.5 miles into the Olympic Trials Marathon, inexplicably, and as most of you are well aware, Ryan Shay, 28-year-old runner, from Michigan originally, married this past July to Alicia Craig. He died here. Clutched his heart on this spot. He fell to his left shoulder, off to the side, and although there were medical personnel almost immediately present, and he was taken by ambulance to Lenox Hill Hospital nearby, it was there at 8:46 in the morning, which is exactly the time it is right now. 15 days ago, Ryan Shay was pronounced dead. dying doing what he loved to do. Some have said that's appropriate, but I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the notion of a 28-year-old runner in Olympic fitness dying as being appropriate. They say he died before he hit the ground. At the 5-mile mark, just behind me, stood his wife, who unknowingly was watching him run by and watching him alive for the final time. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks. I can't shake it out of my head. I'm a Bostonian that grew up loving the Boston Celtics and feeling like I got kicked in the gut when I discovered that Len Bias, the draft choice in 1986 of the Boston Celtics, had died from a cocaine overdose the day after he was drafted by the Celtics. Well, in the context of sports and things that are not immediately related to myself or my family, that was one of the most horrible deaths I had ever felt, until this one. Man trains. He was the 2003 marathon champion for the United States. He was a contender to make the Olympic team, and by all accounts, he was in tremendous shape. He was the NCAA 10,000 meter champion for Notre Dame. And by all accounts, although I'd never met him, but by all accounts of what I had heard before and after his demise, he was a runner who ran with tremendous heart. One of the hardest working trainers. Even Meb Keflezighi, who ran with him, said nobody trained harder than Ryan Shea. He was ready. He was happy. And in an instant, he was gone. I don't know, I came down here today pay my respects, and I was hoping in the back of my mind that a synapse might occur that would somehow give me some understanding, but it's hard to understand this. It's so unfair. But if anything, I'm here to celebrate the life of triumph he had, and I'm paying my 5 cents to recall his memory one more time, because it's worth recalling. Ryan Shea was an athlete and a man, and we'll miss him. It's time to start running. I don't think he'd approve of me walking here. Off we go. So is my prayer. Let me say goodbye to Ryan Shea here this morning. On behalf of runners everywhere who appreciate the values he stood for. And let me say goodbye. I say goodbye because he never had the chance to. There are so many runners out here. It goes on, doesn't it? We run in part as an effort of maintenance to maintain our health and extend our longevity. And it makes no sense when a supreme practitioner of such an act dies in the process of doing what he loved. You can hear the horse carriages. I'm not a great runner by any stretch. I never was. I was okay, but I ran enough at one point in my life to know a little bit about what that hard work means. A lot of people know what that hard work means, the proof of which occurs in every major marathon every year. Here, 2 weeks ago, where 37,000 people ran these roads to complete 26.2 miles. Even as I speak, my good friend, Steve Walker, aka Steve Runner, is somewhere in the midst of what I pray is a sub-4-hour effort in Philadelphia. I know Steve knows something about hard work. Central Park South, turning towards home. I'm in the park still, but so I'm just a block, less than a block, from the marathon course, Central Park South, I look down the street, I can see Times Square. Did you watch the New York City Marathon? Did you see what Paula Radcliffe did here in the women's race? Ethiopian Getawami, who, as part of her resume, has sat on Paula Radcliffe from Great Britain for much of their careers on the track, and with superior sprinting speed, often beat her in the final lap of varying distance races, 5,000 meters and beyond. Well, this was the marathon. This was Paula Radcliffe's comeback. Some of the bleachers are even still here. So I passed the Trump International something or other. And here's the road that connects Columbus Circle to the final quarter mile of the New York City Marathon. Well, it was just before here in Columbus Circle that Getawami, with less than a half mile to go, for the first time since the first mile, passed Paula Radcliffe. And it was like, oh no. Paula did all the work and is going to get out kicked again. So a big comeback race following the birth of her daughter. And it was looking like that's the old script again. Well, it was. Paula put on a move adjacent to the steps I'm running now, and won by 23 seconds. You want to talk about guts? Imagine how tired you felt at the end of the marathon, and being able to summon the strength and speed to outkick your opponent, who has spent a career at other races doing the same thing to you. That was a wonderful moment in distance running history. It took place right here, just 2 weeks ago this morning. In the last 0.2 miles here, I've run this race. I grew up admiring this race. People I'm proud to call friends have won this race. I've seen guys like Jeff Smith from Britain lead this race for 26 miles to be passed on this spot by Rod Dixon with seconds to go. I have his heart broken. This is the New York City Marathon, and I am approaching the Tavern on the Green and the finish. 2004 for me represented the first marathon in many years, following a string of injuries and from a series of distractions that kept me away from the sport for a number of years. It was right here. This is the finish line. Runner's Grove, the sign says. Crossing this line 3 years ago revalidated my passion in front of Giuseppe Manzini, his bold statue said to me that I'm a runner. And thank you, Jim, for letting me borrow that line. But I too am a runner. And crossing that line then, and even crossing it now, reminds me of a sort of homecoming. 200 miles from my home, but I'm home. You get it? I'm at the back of what must be the start of a race. Registration, race officials. I don't think my wife would appreciate me running a race unannounced, and she and my 21-month-old son are waiting for me just up the road. We must all time manage, don't we? It's important. I love my family. See the half mile sign for this race tells me I'm done with this loop. So let's kick it home up this hill. Of course it has to end on an uphill. I've run 6.55 miles with a rather unforgettable walk break in 104.16. Emotions are an energy. I'm not in very good shape, but I ran hard for me today.
at points, initially because of those hills, but I feel no fatigue right now, and I sacrifice this admittedly small effort to the memories of runners triumphant, runners disappointed, and runners and families of runners who are dealing with loss. To those I pray, amen. There's one more site I can see off just down the road. It's adjacent to a place in Central Park called Strawberry Fields, where there's a stone memorial and testament that rises up from the ground with one simple, bold, optimistic statement of truth, as artful as the best run you've had. And that word is imagine. And that artist who lived across the street, and you all know his name, John Lennon, today, I pray for him and his memory as well. May we all shine on. Okay, well, here's Theodore Roosevelt. He's still here, as one would hope. My car is still here. And my wife and child are out having fun, though. It's funny. This is the area where, after you run the New York City Marathon, is the family reunion area. So once again, I've run a spirited run through Central Park, and I'm waiting for my wife. It's all good. It's all good. It's a beautiful morning. Thanksgiving Day parade for Macy's will begin here in just 4 days. You ever get the feeling that you're standing at the center of the world? Seems that way around here. Boston may be the hub, but I must admit, New York is the center of the world. I hope you enjoyed running with me this morning as much as I enjoyed this run. Have a good week of training. I'm going to be more consistent this week. Try to get over 30 miles this week. And in an upcoming podcast, I'm going to talk a little more about a challenge I have for both myself and for you to run some miles with me and to join the club. But more on that later. For now, about 200 miles away from mile 22 of the Boston Marathon, but dangerously close to mile 26 of the New York City Marathon, I'm John. Thanks a lot. And be good to yourselves out there, won't you?
Have it. Unlucky episode 13 of the Extra Mile Podcast. Thanks for joining us once again. It is only a couple days before Thanksgiving here in the good old US of A, which for us means a 4-day weekend. Mid-November, it's almost 70 degrees in Cincinnati, Ohio. My plantar fasciitis is all but healed, as is the blister on my foot that I got from running without socks. And my cold that knocked me on my butt for about a week and a half is all but gone also. Life is good. How about where you are? What's happening in your little corner of the planet? Send us an audio file and let us know how things are going with your training or anything else you want to talk about. Thanks very much for everyone who sent updates this week. Conspicuous by her absence, of course, was Marathon Chris. Chris has been doing about as much traveling as Adam Tinkoff does these days. Just doesn't get to go to the kinds of places Adam goes. So she sends her apologies, along with her promise to give us an update next time. While I'm thanking people, I'd like to thank everybody for their votes this month on Podcast Alley. And lest you think me unappreciative, I would like to point out that I would like some additional help on that front. If you go to Podcast Alley and do a search in the health category, you can also just click on the vote button on our website. It'll take you right there. You will see that this podcast is currently being beaten in the health category by a podcast that goes by the name of the Swinger Cast. No, I'm sorry. That one just sticks in my crawl. Maybe I should download it and listen to it first, but come on, folks. Help me at least beat out the Swinger Cast. For those of you in the United States, happy Thanksgiving. And for everybody who took the time to download and listen to us this week, thanks very much. Everybody have a great week.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the show. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramile2007@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramile2007@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the Extra Mile Podcast.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, pod show, and limelight.